Because all I know was singing that song. I was back there, and this is what my sermon is about. God has done everything for us, so we're kind of like intertwined. So that's a great thing. I feel really privileged and honored to be here today, and I count myself as the least of the least persons to stand up here. But, you know, when God chooses, he equips. So while I stand here today, please don't look at me. You're not hearing from me. I'm only a vessel that God is using to preach today. So thank you. So about 3 weeks ago, Pastor Victor, I met him downstairs. We're having the little meeting about the youth church. And then he told me, oh, in November, there are two Sundays that youths are going to preach. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing because God is doing a new thing. And then he goes, yeah, it's good to know. You're one of those youths. I'm like, what? Why would you pick me? But as I started to like meditate on the reason why this topic came into my heart, and I feel like God really impressed this topic in my heart. The title of my topic today is The Heart That Is Ready to Receive from God. So while I was meditating upon this, I remembered a video that I had seen like a while ago, and I'm like, wow, this video really blessed me when I saw it. I felt the need to play the video today. So before we get into that, let us say a quick word of prayer. In Jesus' name, dear God, we thank you because nothing takes you by surprise. And even before today, you knew I was going to be here today. And you knew that there is something that you would like to say to your people through me today. Even as I speak, oh God, speak through me. I'm only but a vessel, and I humble myself in your presence. Lead me, oh God, in the way that you want me to go, and let your people be blessed today in Jesus' name. Amen. So if Sound of Media is ready for me, I'm ready for my video. Awful video, yeah? So when I was, I think I seen this video like 3 years ago or something. When I was preparing for this, it just like my mind went back there. And I'm like, the heart that is ready to receive, yeah? You ever like been praying for something and like you're still carrying the old baggage from the past and wondering why your prayers are not being answered? Let us read Ephesians 4:31. So it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Basically, you need to clean out the garage for the new car, right? So as I was studying the scripture, it kind of hit me hard because I have this friend who was constantly praying for somebody to change, right? But like every time this person like takes a positive step, all they see is all the bad things they've done in the past. So it's like that positive step is not even being seen. Well, like how many times have you like, maybe you're applying for a job, but like right before you walk into the interview, you're like, oh, I know they're just gonna say no anyway. So why are you praying if you know they're going to reject you? Or like, it could just be like with anything that you're dealing with and you haven't gotten rid of your bad experiences or like the old baggage from the past, so you keep carrying it with you and expecting something new to happen. It just doesn't work that way. So how do we get rid of all these things or dirty things that are in the garage to make space for the new car? I was reading the scripture, John 15:7, if you could put it up, please. Says, remain in me, and my words abide in you. You may ask for anything that you want, and it will be granted unto you. So out of the heart comes all the issues of life. What is the content of your heart when you're asking God for something? What have you filled your heart with? Have you filled your heart with complaint? Have you filled your heart with bitterness? Have you filled your heart with anger and expecting something positive to come out of a heart that is filled with all manner of negativity? We need to make room for the new car. The heart that is ready to receive is the heart that trusts God completely with no reservations. You ever be trusting God for something and, you know, you're kind of doubting yourself? I do that a lot. I'm guilty of it. It's like, God, I know you're going to do this for me, but how do you intend to do it? I have a classic example. When I was trying to get my place, right? I had a good amount of money in my account, but I know it wasn't going to be able to, like, help me set up the way I wanted to set up prior to moving. So I prayed about it. I'm like, God, I'm going to start searching. So the first place I went with my brother, right? And the place was like, oh, the initial moving, you're going to have to put down $5,000. I'm like, yes, of course. My brother looks at me, you got this, right? I'm like, yes. What did I have in my account? $1,000. I'm like, let's try and apply to get in, right? He didn't know that. I knew what was the content of my account, but I didn't say a word. But when I went back to that place, I just didn't have the peace for that apartment, so I kept looking. So when I finally found the place where I moved into, I had just enough to pay my rent and my security deposit, but like I didn't know how I was gonna get furniture or whatever. I'm like, you know what? I'm ready to take this step. It's not me taking this step, it's God that's backing me up. I'm just gonna take the step anyway. So I went ahead and made the payment, and I kid you not, everything. All my furnitures, my house was so set up to like a very good standard within 2 weeks. Because I wasn't leaning on my understanding, because I put it all in God's hands. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So that little thing that comes to your mind that tries to figure out how is this going to get done, that is what I like to call your understanding, because as human, like looking at it, it makes sense to worry about that, because sometimes we like to be realistic with our asking or what we're asking God for. But God does not look upon that. God is just looking for a heart that will trust him and say, yes, Lord, I have faith for this, and I know that it is done. The heart that is ready to receive from God. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways. When you fully submit yourself to God, you're no longer seeing the possibilities from the human perspective, because your eyes delight in his ways, no longer in your ways. The heart that is ready to receive from God. Just like the song we were singing just a few minutes ago, he has done everything for me. If I ask, how many of you believe that God has done everything? By show of hands, let me see. Everybody, right? Where is it though? Where are your miracles? It's done, right? We come out here and we pray and we dance and, you know, fall under the anointing. And then when you walk out right at the door, the enemy just cheats you, right? Or you see that brother that you're not talking to and you're like, this person. How can God bless that heart? Now think about it for a second. If you were a person and you knew the content of your heart, would you still bless you? I hope that we find it funny, but that will take a moment to also think about it. Because in the reality, it is what it is. The heart that is ready to receive from God. When I think about a heart that is truly ready to receive from God, or even from human, it's a thankful heart, because you cannot, what you do not appreciate cannot bless you. And that's fact. So instead of filling your hearts with complaints and worries and doubts, have you tried being thankful even when it looks like there's no reason to be thankful? The year is coming to an end, right? There's some prayers we've been carrying over since last year. There's some thoughts we've been carrying over since last year. There are some people we've been carrying over since 10 years ago. It's like, how can I forgive this person? Impossible. You know what they did to me? You don't understand what they did to me. How long are you going to hold on to that? Is it really worth it? And God has said, cast all your cares upon me. My yoke is easy. The burden is not yours. So why are we still carrying it? The heart that is ready to receive from God. There's a scripture that somehow became my favorite scripture. Ephesians 3:20-21 says, now to him all the glory who is able to do through his mighty power at work within us, infinitely, abundantly, above all that we can ever ask or imagine. You see the clause in that scripture, right? If you can put the King James Version, please. It kind of, King James Version brings out that clause a little bit more elaborate. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. My question for you today is, what power have you activated in your life? Is it the power of praise? Is it the power of thanksgiving? Or is it the power of anger and resentment and complaint and doubt and what they've done to me or how I cannot forgive them? Or how you don't understand? Oh, take a walk in my shoes. Well, how do you pray for God to change somebody and you're not even ready to forgive them? Even when God changes the person, you still see the bitterness of the past, the pains of the past, or what it did to you. The heart that is ready to receive from God. I feel this impression in my heart because, like, the year is coming to an end. And God has done everything for us. And I don't want any of us here to walk into next year not collecting all these things that God has done for us because you're holding yourself back, because you wouldn't let go, because you have not prepared your heart to receive. The heart that is ready to receive from God. Do you need help cleaning out that old car in the garage for the new one to come in? Let my words abide in you. Lean not on your own understanding. And I get it. Some of these things are just so hard, like, because you're trying to do it yourself. But if you give it to God, you see how much easier it gets in this preparation to receive before the year is over. I kind of tied everything into three conclusions, or rather one conclusion, but like 3 points in my summary before I step out, because my time is almost up. So the heart that is ready to receive from God is a heart that is free from all bitterness, rage, anger, doubts, that is free from all what they've done to me, that is free from all walking mile in my shoe, that is free from all you don't understand. There's nothing to understand. The heart that is ready to receive from God is a heart that is filled with gratitude and thanks for all he has done. Because in as much as we complain, you're still living today and God is watching you. If you check it, those that have died, we're not better. I'm not better. It could have been me. It could have been anybody. The heart that is ready to receive from God is the heart that trusts God completely, not leaning on your own understanding. Because when you start to try to figure it out, God lets you do your thing because he's not a wicked God, right? And he gives us willpower. He lets us do what we think is the right thing for us to do. But the good thing is, even when he lets us go astray or do whatever we want to do, he's a loving father, and his arms are always open for whenever we decide to come home. The heart that is ready to receive from God. As we wrap up the year, I want us to begin to check our hearts. What do you need to clean out of the garage? What is that old car? What is that thing that you cannot let go? What is preventing you from trusting God completely? Do you need help? There is help in his word. Let my words abide in you. Pretty sure the pastors are open to enlighten you if you need that much help. But if you can take a minute to think about all the things that you deserve, because I'm pretty sure we all think we deserve a lot of things. Why not let yourself have it? Why are you holding yourself back? Because yes, we do deserve it. We're children of God, and we walk with the grace and anointing of the Father. But why are you holding yourself back? Because like the video said, like I am saying too, God cannot give you the blessing that you're going to ruin. He can't bless you until you're ready. He can't give you that major breakthrough until you're ready. Because he doesn't want you to mess it up or kill yourself or mess your life up. Because he's a good father and everything he does is good. The heart that is ready to receive from God. Thanksgiving is in 2 weeks, right? We're thankful for a lot of things. But imagine so much more that we can be thankful for. How many of you love yourselves? I love myself too. That's why I'm not going to let anybody or any situation get in the way of my blessing. No situation, nobody is worth you cutting yourself short. Do you know what it will feel like for you to like just, when you're done living life, and then hopefully you make it to heaven, and then God is showing you all the possibilities that you could have become. He's like, my daughter, this is what, my son, this is what I wanted you to do, or this is how far I expected you to go in life, but you know you are holding on to this person. Or you just couldn't trust me completely because you kept trying to figure things out yourself. And I was telling you to give me that burden, but you thought you could handle it better. So I stood aside. But you made it to heaven, though, because I love you. You know how painful that would be? It's like you could have been rolling in millions, but you're in thousands because you were not ready to receive. The heart that is ready to receive from God. If you don't remember anything, remember not to cut yourself short of God's blessing as the year is ending. There's like so much more in store. Don't let you be your own hindrance, because it's easy for us to point fingers every time something goes wrong. It's like, oh, it's this person's fault. But half the time we caused it. I feel like all the time we're always at fault because Yes, this person might do this to you or whatever, but you're in charge of how you react. It's nobody's fault that you're that way. It's entirely your fault. So it's time for us to start taking responsibilities for our actions. And if I were you, I'll prepare myself to receive, because the end of this year is going to be really loud. And I feel like God has done so much for us, given us so much blessings, that we just need to make room in the garage to park the new car. The heart that is ready to receive from God. Please don't see me as I'm the one talking. If there's something you need to change, change it. The power is in your hand. Don't let the devil cut you short. Next year is going to be 2020. How much longer do we have here on earth? It'll be a shame if we're not able to fulfill all that God wants us to fulfill here on earth. That's all I have. Make room.
Okay, that's right out there. How many know that it pays to listen to the Holy Spirit? Oh, wow. That is such a resounding no answer. How many think that it pays to listen to the Holy Spirit? So maybe that should have been my sermon, listening to the Holy Spirit, because it seems like a lot of people are not really responding to that. But the reason why I say that is because of what God started to ask me to teach this morning. What I was initially going to teach, the title of it was, Who Told You You Are Naked? And I was like, it's funny because I had written that sermon. God has never allowed me to preach it, which is great because the topic is a little risque still. But the topic was going to go into how in Genesis, like God was talking to Adam and they were having a great time. And then all of a sudden they started listening to somebody else and we would have had this blast and it would have been so amazing because that sermon is really good. It blessed me. But then as I started to listen to God and yield myself to him, he said something. He said, I want you to teach on love. And if you're my friend, well, Chris Lawrence will know this. Anoyeka will know this. It's something that God has put on my heart, but I've always struggled to accept it because what he told me, he said, what I want you to teach people every time you teach is to teach them on love and the love that I have for them. And I said, God, I want to teach on something much more exciting, you know, like faith, like trust God, you know, like power, like the anointing. I said, why love? Because I thought love, like, that's too easy. Like, everybody knows God loves them. Like, come on. But then he started to tell me, he said, it's easy, but it's the most misunderstood subject. And people still see love in the sense of how we, our society, has connotated love to be. Right? See, because we love our clothes, we love our shoes, we love our jewelry, we love food, we love things. Like, I don't love my phone, but some people love their phone. Some people love, we love a lot of things. And so now the word love doesn't really have the value that God placed on it. See, because when God was going to give us the definition of love, he did it in the Bible. He said, what is love? What is love? God himself is love. God himself is love. So you see how I can't have that same relationship with my phone as I have with God. I can't have that same relationship that I have with my clothing as I have with God. And so the topic that God then gave me to teach on in the direction of love stems, and it goes like this. It says, rooted in love. Right? Rooted in love. And it's so amazing what Udoka came here to do, because, and Pastor Victor can now attest to this, that I forgot my phone up here when I came to lead, right? And this is why I said it pays to live, listen to the Holy Spirit. But when I started, this was the question I asked. I said, why do so many Christians live a life that is shy of what God can do or who he is? We are royalty, yet why do so many live like commoners? Why is the church missing God? Why is the church missing God? And that was the question I asked him when he said, talk to them about love. And then he sent me to this scripture, James 1:22. We quote it all the time. It's an amazing scripture. James 1:22. James 1:22, I don't know if they had it because I gave it to them last minute. Sorry, but I can read it. It's already there. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling who? Who? Are you fooling me? Are you fooling God? You're not fooling me. You're not fooling God. The only person that you're fooling is yourself. And so I was like, God, yes, we should do what you say and all of this stuff, but how? How can we do that? Like, sometimes we do it and sometimes we don't. And I don't understand why. And when I say that, I don't mean like me standing up here, because honestly, at the end of the day, it is really by the grace of God. Like, none of us is perfect. And I myself, I find that sometimes I always hit it. Like, God tells me something, I do it, it works amazing. But sometimes, why? I fall short. I don't get what God is promising me. And so God started to tell me something. He said, the reason why that still happens, where people live in ups and downs, is because they've not yet found their anchor point. Right? How many of you know you've seen ships, right? Boats, sail ships. If you leave the boat on the water, unanchored, overnight, when you come back, where will your boat be? It would have gone where? Away. And you'll be surprised. You'll be like, what? It was right here. I put the boat right here. But you didn't anchor it to anything. See, in this sea of life, you need to be anchored to something. Right? That's the only way you don't get drifted away by anything. We need to be anchored. And what should we anchor on? Let's open Ephesians chapter 3. Right? Ephesians chapter 3. From verse 17 to 19. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. It says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Right? So your root is supposed to go down into what? God's what? Love. Let your roots grow down into God's love, right? Then 18 says, and may you have the power to understand, as God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Let's read verse 20. We just read that earlier. Verse 20, Ephesians 3:20. The Ephesians, it will go on and says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Udoka said something. She said, a heart that's ready to receive is a heart that trusts God completely. The key word there is completely. See, many of us trust God, but it's to a point. Many of us trust God, but it's to a point. Many of us trust God in the big things and don't trust him for the small things. Many of us read the scripture, in all your ways acknowledge him, but we read it as, in the ways I feel like or I can't do anything about, I'll trust him. Right, see, but that scripture is telling us that we should let our roots grow down into the love of God. Because when you have finally tapped into love of God, and that scripture tells us, as all God's people should. So it's not a requirement for a pastor. It's not just a requirement for your Sunday school teacher. It is a requirement for every single person, every one of us, that each one of us, our roots will grow down into God's love. Why? Because it says we will be able to come to the fullness. We will be made complete. Right? So it means that there is a completion that each and every one of us, that God has prepared for each one of us, and it is right there at the place of understanding his love for you. Right? Now, see how that scripture goes. It tells us about how understanding his love and everything. Then he puts verse 20 there. Now, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Because why? If what you think about God, not if, sorry, scrap that part. What you think about God, right? As the scriptures have been saying before, his love for you, right? How he relates with you will determine what you feel like you could ask God for. Right? Don't get me wrong. I have a father, right? He's in Nigeria, right? There was this day my car was towed, right? And I was in college. I didn't have any money, right? But then something came to my remembrance. My dad said, when you're in America, your father there is Pastor Chinedu Emmanuel. So I thought about it. I was like, Pastor Chinedu Emmanuel, okay. He drives a Mercedes. Like, he's got it. Like, but beyond all of that, it was not me just looking at Pastor Emmanuel's, like, what he had. The real reason why his name came up in my mind was because of the relationship my dad put us together in. He is now what? My father here. And because he's my father, quote unquote, they're my needs that I have that he's going to take care of. And so I remember that day. Sorry, people in the booth. I gave them like 20 scriptures, but I feel like I'm going to only read 5. I remember that day I called him. Matter of fact, I didn't even bother to cry. I didn't do any of that. I called him. I was like, they towed my car. You know, this is what I did, though. I did do this. See, I was still operating under a kind of mediocre relationship, old covenant. I was like, oh, yeah. My car, it was parked. I was trying to beat around. But anyways, I eventually got to the point where I just said, look, my car has been towed. I have no money. And he just said, oh, okay. I'll come. How much is it? I said, 300. He was like, oh, okay. Do you still live in the same place? I was like, no, we've moved, but I could text you the new address. He was like, okay, I'll be there in a few minutes. And lo and behold, he was there. I got the cash. I got into the tow place. I got my money. I got my car. My car was free just because he's my father. Not because he, actually, I can never say he had the money. Because what if at that moment, he didn't have the money? It's not my business now. It's not my business, eh? He said I should ask, and I asked. But guess what? The reason why I was so bold to ask was because the first year when I came, because that was in like my third year, the first year when I came, I was living in the dorms, right? Pastor Emmanuel used to do this amazing thing because, you know, my dad just said he's my father. So I feel like in that first year, he tried to let me understand that he really is my father. I would be in school, and he would just call me randomly. I know, where are you? I'd be like, I have nowhere else to be. I'm just in school. My whole family is in Nigeria. I can't go anywhere. And he'd be like, just come down. I have some stuff for you. I'd be like, oh, okay. So I'll go there, open his trunk, groceries. Like, amazing. I felt the love, you know, as a college student. I always had stuff to eat. Right? BJ, oh, wow. Anyways, let's not go there. Okay. All that changed, though, when those two little sisters of mine came. Because everybody was like, oh, yeah, you have people. Right? But what am I trying to emphasize? There was a relationship change that happened. Because he had been living before I was living. He knew me since I was a kid. Like, since I was a baby. Right? It's funny because, like, I see Casey all the time. And I don't remember how, but Casey used to see me as I was a child running up and down everywhere in the house. I've known him for that long. But it was not until my dad made him my father, quote unquote, that I started to enjoy the benefits of that relationship. It changed our relationship with each other. Right? And I know that he loves me. I remember Auntie Meg, when I first came, she texted me one day. She was like, oh, are you and your brothers going to come to my, she was throwing a party for one of her sons. And she was like, are you and your brothers going to come to the party? I was like, you do realize I have no brother here, right? Like, I'm the only one. But what she thought, and I don't know how this is possible, but was that Onyeka, Casey, Ugo were my brothers. Maybe not biologically, I'm going to know she's not thinking biologically, but because of how the relationship came about. It changed the way everything was seen, right? So it's the love that really keeps you anchored, right? Now, I want to give us an example. I'm not going to try to rush this. So wherever we stop, another day when we have the opportunity, we'll just go from there. I'm sure God will lead somebody else to teach on it, and we'll just take it like that. But I'd rather everybody understand what I'm saying so that we could all grow, right? And this is something that God said to me, and I wrote it down, and I don't want to mess it up. He says, the church knows me. They know of my power and might. They know me as a lover of the lost and the broken, redeemer of the world, but that's where it all stops. They never get to know me as their father, their Abba Father. They never desire to going from having a mighty God to having a father who is a mighty God. I'm going to say that again. It says, we need to go from the place where we know we have a mighty God to know that we have a father who is a mighty God. Right? I'll give you an example. I like using my life as examples for us. My dad runs a printing press in Nigeria. So he has a lot of employees working for him. Right? During our break, I used to work for him, like one of his employees. And there was this day, I was working, and one of his employees, I don't know what gave him the boldness, right? I'm a young child. I'm sure I did something that warranted it. But he hit me. Right? He hit me on my head. Oh, God. I cried. But then something happened. I realized my dad was not in the office. So I stopped crying. Right? I realized my dad was not in the office. So really, the place where my anchor is not here. So let me just comport myself. Nobody's here to help me. But the moment I heard my dad's drive into the office, oh, God, I started crying. I started crying immediately. Why? Because I knew that my dad is here now. See, he was a worker, right? And even though we looked like we were the same when everybody comes into the office to look at the people working, but there's a difference with me. See, at the end of the day, he gets a paycheck. At the end of the day, I go home. So When I started crying, I cried based on the fact that I know that God loves me. Right? In this case, my father loves me. So if something is bothering me, I can take it to him and he'll take care of it. As a matter of fact, when I started crying, the worker that hit me knew what was going on. He started to tell me to stop crying. Because now he has done exactly what God said they should never do to you. When God was saying they should not touch his anointed or do his prophets no harm, right? But he now lives in you. Right? And we sing, demons tremble at the presence of God. And he lives in me. So every time I'm anywhere, honestly, every demon should start being like, stop, sorry, sorry, sorry. We didn't know you are coming here. We didn't know. If we knew, we would have just left it. Sorry, we are going now. Okay, bye. Right? So the love is what will ground you. And I want to just read a couple of scriptures so that we'll know what this love is. Let's read John 15, 12 to 13. It says, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Verse 13. It says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for another's friend. I want you to keep that scripture in mind and then open your Bibles to 1 Peter 1, 18 to 20. Okay. Okay, 1 Peter 1, 18 to 20. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemable with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as well as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we just read in the previous verse, right, that there's no greater love than for anybody to lay down their life for one's friend, right? And this scripture just tells us that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, right? Now, let's now open our Bibles to Romans 5, verse 6 to 11. Romans 5, verse 6 to 11. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love to us, by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Why is this important? Because our definition of everything should come from God. And God just told us what love is. He is love. And the greatest way, the greatest kind of love you can show is for you, right, to lay down your life. There's no greater love, right? And not only did he do that, he did that when we were not even deserving of it. Because think about it. Like, you probably, like that scripture tells us, you could probably lay down your life for a good person, like a genuinely good person. You could, potentially, with quotes. I'll take a bullet for you, but if it's convenient, right? But God did it. He gave himself his own life. So I want you to now tell me, if you really believe that the Bible is true, why can't we trust the love of God? When he already tells us that there's no other type of love that can be done. Like, the greatest form, or like, let me put it like this, the greatest expression of love is for one to be able to lay down their life for that person they love. And God did it for us through Jesus Christ, right? Now, I'm going to take us quickly just through a few people in the Bible who understood this love, right? Why is this important for us to do this? Because if we understand the love, we can begin to operate on the realm of exceedingly and abundantly, right? Let's look at Abraham real quick in Romans 4, verse 18 to 25. Now, 19 to 25, sorry. Romans 4, 19 to 25. It says, and Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it was just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded. For our benefit too, assuring us that God will count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Right? We all know that faith works by what? No, faith comes by hearing the word of God. But faith works by what? Love. Right? It says faith worketh by what? Love. Okay. So we're reading about Abraham here, and he had faith in God. There was the verse that we read that he said he was fully what? Convinced. That's the key thing there. Fully convinced. Some versions say fully persuaded. Right? He was fully persuaded, so much so that he had faith in God. He had faith in God. Let's open, we're going to look at David real quick, right? Now, actually, let's just skip David. Let's go to Jesus. Jesus in Luke 2, verse 49. It says, but why did you need to search? He asked, didn't you know I must be in my Father's house? I want you to see something that started to happen. With Jesus, he started to regard God as his Father. His Father. That's why the Pharisees and everything, they freaked out. How can God be your Father? But that's what he is to us. And Jesus did that there. He says, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. Jesus always talked to God as his Father. Even though he is God, Jesus is God, God is God, but Jesus and God had the relationship of Father and Son, which is what he came to bring to us as something that's available for us to enjoy, the relationship of Father and Son, right? If we then go on to read John chapter 11, verse 41. John 11, 41. It says, now, John 11, 41. Then they took away the stones from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Right? Jesus, because of relationship, always went to God boldly. He didn't say, Father, I thank you because you will hear me. He says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Because of the relationship Jesus had with God, which is the same relationship that we are called into, there's a place that's reserved for us. A relationship space that's reserved for us. The same way, those who are married in the audience, you will know that there's a special place that is reserved for your spouse because of relationship. Nobody else gets the type of response from you. Nobody gets the type of attention from you. Nobody gets the same type of care from you. Nobody gets the same type of admiration from you, the same type of encouragement from you. But just because of the relationship, this person gets all that. Relationship. Based on who God is, which is love. Right? I'm going to save the acts of love that God did for us for another time. But let's just touch on this first one. The first act of love that God had for us. It was Jesus himself. Right? Everybody could quote John 3:16, right? It says, for God what? So loved the world. We can start to draw a parallel to see how, like, everything that God is doing for us, he's doing it from the standpoint of love. From the standpoint of love. Right? And until, like, if you have, honestly, like, if you have a friend, family member, anybody that you're trying to get them, like, you desire that God should, that their life should be changed or something like that, you just, your prayer is just get God, please open their eyes. Open their eyes to see how much you love them. Right? Because this is a kind of love. This is a kind of love that the response to it is that which you can only give your life back. Right? I am running out of time. I have run out of time. So can I take 5 minutes just to close it? And then we will, wherever we stop. But Jesus himself was given to us as an act of love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his son. Right? So you're believing Jesus is because you should respond to that. He just gave us a message of love. The response is to love back. Right? The Holy Spirit was also given out of love. We might not see that, but it really is. He said, I will not leave you as what orphans. Do you know what? I don't pray that anybody ever experience that situation of being an orphan. But it's a life of no direction, no care, no nothing. Just uncertainty all the time. But he loved us so much, he said he will not leave us as orphans. He will send us the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 5:5, he told us, he said, out of love, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Why? So that when he will be able to talk, he will be able to commune with us, he will be able to fellowship with us, we'll be able to come to that place of relationship where if your car is towed, you could call. Right? And then we'll touch on other things on other days, but let's just stop on this Holy Spirit and I'll give an example and then that'll be it. Right? And the booth, you could be getting ready to put up that image. It was about 2 Sundays ago. I'll just give this example and that's it. About 2 Sundays ago, myself and Chioma were supposed to go after church. We were supposed to go cake tasting to pick out a cake. And in the morning that day, I just felt this need. Like I was supposed to do my laundry the day before, but I didn't. So I was gonna. I just felt this. Like, just take your laundry and take it with you. And I was like, God, we're going cake tasting. First, we're going to church. Then we're gonna go cake tasting. And then after is Dunsin's party for her birthday. There's no time that I'm gonna do laundry, right? And that's what I said to God. I got to church. We did everything. We went to, right? We got to the cake tasting place. And if you have the image, please put it up. You do have the image, right? And so our cake tasting was going to last an hour and a half. That's the cake tasting place. What's right next to it? Do you know that if I listened to God, I would have been sitting in there. They would have been feeding me delicious cake, right? I would have put my laundry in the laundromat and he would have been doing his thing. And guess what? After that, we had another appointment at the venue where we were supposed to go choose our linen and everything for wedding celebration and everything. And between this appointment and that appointment, there was an hour gap. So at the very most, between here and the next appointment, I had like two and a half hours-ish. How many know that you can do all your laundry in 2.5 hours? Especially if they're feeding you cake the whole time. Right? And I use this example because why? It's not such a big thing. It's not, oh God, what should I study in college? It's not, God, what right job should I get? It's as simple as, God, you love me so much, you're interested in making sure that my day is not even wasted. Like, I want you to see, I use this example because I want you to see how much more detailed God's love gets to. See, because we think it's just the big ones. It's God. We say, God loves me. Father Jesus, you love me too much. Oh. Yes, he loves you too much, that much. That if you really trust him, you will find that you won't even take a step that is not ordered by God. You say, how is that possible? Jesus did it, right? And the Bible tells us that greater what? Greater things. They told Jesus, your best friend died. The right step would have been, hey, I have the power. Let's go heal them up. Let's go, let's go. Let's test the power of God right now. Let's raise them up from the dead. No. Stay. And he didn't make one single misstep. That's that space that God has prepared for us. That's that space that Ndoka is trying to get every one of us to, that everybody, pastor, everybody is trying to get us to. And one pastor was talking about the guy last week. I was like, I need that in my life. Where God orders your every step and there's no mistakes. But the only way you can get to trusting him like that is to know his love for you. He loves you so much. Like, I mean so much. So, so very much. That if you started to, I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, we need to find a new word for how much this God loves us. Because I think we have done injustice to the word love. And it no longer describes what God has towards us in the trueness of it. He gave up his life. The greatest expression of how much he can love you. He did it for us. And so in this few minutes, I would just ask everybody to rise. Just rise to your feet.